Last Lord's Day morning and this evening and on Easter, we're looking at the book of the Gospel of Mark and going through the account of these last and final days of our Lord's earthly ministry. And so if you will turn with me in the Gospel of Mark to Mark chapter 15, we'll be looking specifically at verse 38 this evening. But for context, we'll read beginning in verse 33 and read through verse 39. So let us hear God speak to us now. The Gospel of Mark, chapter 15, beginning in verse 33. Now when the sixth hour had come, there was darkness over the whole land until the ninth hour. And at the ninth hour, Jesus cried out with a loud voice, saying, Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani, which is translated, my God, why have you forsaken me? Some of those who stood by, when they heard that, said, look, he is calling for Elijah. Then someone ran and filled a sponge full of sour wine, put it on a reed and offered it to him to drink, saying, let him alone, let us see if Elijah will come to take him down. And Jesus cried out with a loud voice and breathed his last. Then the veil of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. So when the centurion who stood opposite him saw that he cried out like this and breathed his last, he said, truly, this man was the Son of God. As far as the reading of God's holy word, let us pray. God, you've given us your word to instruct us, to reveal to us your will for our salvation. We thank you, God, that you have provided us with a clear testimony of the work of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We ask this night, as we think about this torn veil, that you would instruct us and show us what exactly you desire to communicate to us as your people. And in doing so, that you would give us a great hope and assurance of our salvation. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. As a child, I was thinking as I was preparing for this, because we're going to talk a little bit about separation. Separation that the veil makes, and then the separation that God, in dividing the veil, removes between us and God. And as I was thinking about this, I thought of myself as a child. And I am told that this happened, but I believe my parents. I am told that when my mom, when I was little, wanted to take me anywhere, that she had such a difficult time. I would not let her go. Yes, I'll admit, as a mama's boy, that's fine. And I would not let her go. And I remember she telling me, I don't know where she was going, but there was one time where she could not peel me from her leg. I mean, I think she was walking and probably dragging me along. She just couldn't let me, you know, she couldn't get me to let go. I think she ended up having to, wherever she was going, she had to go back home. I was not gonna let go for the life of me. I think she wanted to put me in some kind of nursery. I had no idea who was in there. They were not my mom. I was not going. So in today's language, we might say that as a child, I had some separation anxiety. I did not want to be separated from my mom. But as we think about our text before us, particularly what happens here in the death of Christ and what happens in the veil of the temple being torn, I want you to understand that as Christians, we do not have to fear being separated from God. There is no separation anxiety that we have to worry about when it comes to our walk with God. God has made a way and will never leave or forsake us. And I wonder if sometimes I know that we need to be reminded of this. Because I know that there are times when we see our sin and we think there is no way that God is going to receive me because my sins are so great. Maybe that's what you felt. You feel, my sins are so great that there is no way. Now, God may receive other people, but not me. My sins are too great. And so we start to have this fear that we are going to be separated from God. Or what about this fear that, okay, I think that I'm going to get to heaven, but heaven's going to be closed to me. I'm going to have no ticket to heaven. But I want to, if anything tonight, encourage you. There is no separation between God and his people. There is no separation. There is no need for separation anxiety for the Christian. At Easter, we commonly say, he is risen. Well, I think on Good Friday, we might say, the veil is torn. The veil is torn. And as you hear that, you may even hear me say that to you. Brother or sister, the veil is torn. And I want you to remember this sermon. And I want you to remember what that means for you personally. But we have to understand what it does mean. Now, this is recorded here in the Gospel of Mark. It's also recorded in Matthew and Luke. Those are the synoptic gospels. Syn means S-Y-N, the same, and optic, the same view. And so Matthew, Mark, and Luke, they often have that same view. John's a little different. But it's recorded in all three of them. And Mark and Matthew mention that it was torn. The veil was torn from top to bottom. Luke says it was torn in two, divided. And so here we have, in verse 38, this statement. Now, it's not something that would have been witnessed. Jesus cried out with a loud voice and breathed his last, and then inserted here, then the veil of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. Then we read that the centurion who was there with Jesus, he proclaimed, truly this man was the Son of God, because he heard his final cry. But Matthew, Mark, and Luke, they insert this in here. They want us to know this. The Holy Spirit wants us to know this, that the veil was torn. But we must ask the question, why? Why was the veil torn? What does it teach us about the death of Christ? And that's what we're going to look at tonight. I want you to be able to answer the question, why the veil was torn. And I want you to be able to apply that truth to your life so that you can rejoice and say, the veil is torn and this is good news. Because I will never be separated from God. That is good news. We might put it like this. God has separated the veil to show us that we will never be separated from him. God has separated the veil to show us that we as his people will never, ever be separated from him. I want to think on two things tonight. The torn veil assures us that the curse is removed. And the torn veil assures us that heaven is open. The torn veil assures us that the curse is removed. It is the curse of sin that separates us from God. Now, we have to know a little bit about this veil. Now, for kids, I want you to think of a curtain, a big curtain. Not like the curtain that you have in your room on your windows. This is a big divider, a big curtain. But we have to understand that there were more than one of these curtains or veils in the temple. There were actually two. There was the outer veil, the outer curtain. This divided the courtyard of the Gentiles from the holy place, which was also known as the court of Israel. This is where this inner court was where the Jewish men worshipped. It is where the seven-branch lampstand was found. The table with 12 loaves of bread representing the people of God was found. It was where the altar of incense was located. And so you have the outer veil or the outer curtain, and you have the inner veil. Now, this outer curtain, the historian Josephus tells us that it was beautifully embroidered Babylonian tapestry, mystically depicting the earth, sea, the heavens, and it typified the universe. And so individuals could come through that. But then the inner veil, it divided the court of Israel from the innermost shrine, the Holy of Holies. And I want you to turn with me to Exodus chapter 26. We get there a description of what this veil looked like. Exodus chapter 26. And verse 31. So we talked about the outer veil, the outer curtain. Now we're talking about the inner veil that separated the court of Israel or the holy place from the Holy of Holies. And inside the Holy of Holies was the Ark of the Covenant, the throne of God, as it were. And here in Exodus chapter 26, verse 31, we read this. Speaking of this inner veil, you shall make a veil woven of blue, purple, and scarlet thread, and fine woven linen. It shall be woven with an artistic design of cherubim. It's important. Keep that in mind. An artistic design of cherubim. Cherubim are angels. And so we see that that is the description of the veil. But going on, you shall hang it upon the four pillars of the acacia wood overlaid with gold. Their hooks shall be gold upon four sockets of silver. And you shall hang the veil from the clasps. Then you shall bring the ark of the testimony in there behind the veil. The veil shall be a divider for you between the holy place and the most holy. You shall put the mercy seat upon the ark of the testimony in the most holy. You shall set the table outside the veil and the lampstand across from the table on the side of the tabernacle toward the south. And you shall put the table on the north side. So here's the picture. You have this veil that has been designed. It is in these colors of purple and blue and scarlet, and it has cherubim, angels on it, and it is to make a division between the holy place and the most holy place. But the question that we have to ask when we come back to Mark is, which veil was torn? Because Mark doesn't tell us. It doesn't tell us whether the outer veil was torn or the inner veil was torn. In fact, we don't see that in Matthew or Luke either. So which veil was it? Which was torn? And based on Hebrews chapter 10 that we read earlier, you don't have to turn there, but just listen to these words. Hebrews chapter 10, verses 19 and following. Speaking of the work that Christ did on the cross, the author of Hebrews says, "Brethren, having boldness to enter the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way which he consecrated for us through the veil, that is his flesh." The holiest, the holy of holies. And so this gives us an insight into which veil was torn. It was the inner veil. It was the veil that divided the holy place from the holy of holies. And this is important for understanding the work that Christ came to do. Because remember, this veil was designed in a certain way. It had this cherubim on it. So if we go back to Mark for a moment, in Mark chapter 15 and verse 38, the veil of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. Now this would have opened the way into the Holy of Holies. It would have opened the way into the Holy of Holies. But we have to understand what the symbolic nature of this inner veil was before we understand what was opened. Now, the showbread, which was placed outside the veil, represented the people of God. In fact, there were 12 loaves for the 12 tribes of Israel. So it's interesting that the people of God, outside on the table, represented by the showbread, were separated by this veil. And inside the veil was the mercy seat. It was the throne of God himself. And between the showbread, between the people, between the holy court and the holy of holies, between the court of Israel and the innermost section of the temple was this large veil, this large tapestry. And on this large tapestry were cherubim, angels. And every time that the priest ministered, except once a year, they would be reminded that they as sinners were separated from a holy God. They as sinners were separated from a holy God. In fact, if you turn with me back to Genesis, we can see the importance of the cherubim which were on this tapestry. Genesis chapter 4. Genesis chapter 4, this is after Adam and Eve have sinned. They are being sent out of the garden. They are being sent out of the garden eastward. Now just know this, the temple was designed so that progression into the Holy of Holies was from east to west. But now they are being sent out of the garden to the east. And we read this in Genesis chapter 3, not 4. 3, verse 22. Then the Lord said, "Behold, the man has become like one of us to know good and evil. And now lest he put out his hand and take also of the tree of life and eat and live forever. Therefore the Lord God sent him out of the Garden of Eden to till the ground from which he was taken. So he drove out the man and he placed cherubim at the east of the Garden of Eden. And a flaming sword which turned every way to guard the way to the tree of life. And so we see here at the beginning, as man sins and man is sent out from the presence of God, there is a cherubim that is placed to guard the way back into God's presence. And the temple showed that. They have this veil with cherubim on it, which divides sinful man from a holy God. And only once a year could anyone go in to the Holy of Holies. On the Day of Atonement, only the high priest could go in to make atonement for himself and for the people. But here with the death of Jesus Christ, what could only happen once a year is about ready to happen all the time. That's the picture here. Jesus cries out, Jesus breathes his last, and the curse is done away with. It's gone. Everything that separated man from God is taken away. We're told that this happened in Mark, in chapter 15, at about the ninth hour. It would have been about 3 o'clock. The priests would have been busy in the temple. It wasn't the Day of Atonement, so they wouldn't have been in the Holy of Holies, but they would have been busy. There were witnesses there. Can you imagine this? The priests who were not high priests all their lives, who were looking at this and thinking, I'm separated. There's a cherubim in the way. Now see this separation ripped apart from top to bottom. What does it mean? What does it mean? And at the same time, Jesus is on the cross crying out, my God, why have you forsaken me? Look at this. Jesus here, who is the one who became a curse for us, is being forsaken as it were. The wrath of God is being poured out upon him. And at the time that God is turning his face away from him, at the time that God is turning away and Jesus is feeling the separation, the veil is torn and the separation between God and man is done away with. Do you see what God is doing here? Do you see what God is doing through Christ? Jesus, by becoming a curse for us, opened up the way for we who are by nature cursed sinners to come into the presence of God with a boldness that Hebrews says that we have. It's almost as if this was happening. God's countenance was being turned away as darkness covered the land. Jesus on the cross was crying out, my God, why have you forsaken me? And the veil is ripped open, torn asunder. And God's presence is now looking upon the showbread. His people can now come into his presence. We're going to hear later as we leave this place a parting blessing from Numbers chapter 6. May his face shine upon you. The reason that God's face can shine upon you is because he turned away from Jesus on the cross. The reason that the veil is torn asunder is because Jesus in his flesh was torn. And so the torn veil assures us that the curse is removed. But the torn veil also then, secondly, assures us that heaven is open. The way into God's presence is now open for all who believe. That's what I want you to get when you hear the veil is torn. The way is open. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me. But make no mistake, by me you come to the Father. Isn't that good news? It's open. It's torn away. The payment for sins have been made. There is no longer any need to wait for the Day of Atonement because every day is the Day of Atonement. Think about this. The cherubim is gone. Adam and Eve were put out of the garden to the east. The cherubim was set there to guard. The temple was designed to remind individuals that there was a guardian, guarding God who is holy, and now that is torn away. I love this picture. We have this picture. God says that he removes our sins. As far as the east is from the west. And now here we are who have been put out east. We are coming back west into the presence of God through the Lord Jesus Christ. The temple is open for all who believe. Not just for Jews, but also for Gentiles. Elsewhere in Scripture, we're told that by the rending of the veil, It's been opened. Now it's not simply Jews, but Gentiles, all one in Christ. In fact, we might say that there's no such thing as that outer court any longer. There's no court of the Gentiles. Turn with me to the book of Revelation, chapter 11. I love this heavenly picture that we have of the opening of the temple. Revelation 11, verses 15 through 19. Then the seventh angel sounded, and there were loud voices in heaven saying, "The kingdoms of this world have become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever." And the 24 elders who sat before God on their thrones fell on their faces and worshiped God, saying, "We give you thanks, O Lord God Almighty, the one who is and who was and who is to come, because you have taken your great power and reigned. The nations were angry, and your wrath has come, and the time of the dead, that they should be judged, and that you should reward your servants, the prophets and the saints, and those who fear your name, small and great, and should destroy those who destroy the earth." And then listen to this. Then the temple of God was opened in heaven, and the ark of his covenant was seen in his temple. And there were lightnings, noises, thunderings, an earthquake, and great hail. Heaven being opened. What a glorious picture that is. And what is more glorious is that we can enter in. We can enter in into God's presence through the Lord Jesus Christ. The veil has been torn. The way has been made. Listen to these words from Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 4. Verses 14 through 16. "Seeing then that we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession. For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we might obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need." What a glorious picture. The veil is torn, the mercy seat is open. We can come whenever we need, knowing with certainty that we will find grace in our time of need. It's interesting to think about this picture of the veil being torn and heaven being opened, because when we think about heaven being opened in the ministry of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, we see it opened at his birth as the angels come and they sing his praises, opened at his baptism as God speaks from heaven, opened at his transfiguration. Now, symbolically, through the veil being torn, we see heaven opened at his death. And guess what? Heaven will remain open forever. This veil is not going to be sewn back up. This veil ought not to ever be put back up, because Jesus Christ has come. The way to heaven has been opened, and this was an act of God, not man. It's fitting that it's recorded for us in the Gospels that this was torn asunder from top to bottom. This was not a small curtain. This was a very big curtain, a very thick curtain. This was not torn apart because of decay. This was torn apart because they didn't care for it. This was torn asunder from top to bottom, from above, the Greek says. God did this. God did this. And it will never be undone. It will never be shut. Again, looking at the end of the book of Revelation, almost the final chapter, listen to these words from Revelation 21, verses 22 through 26. This is a picture of what is coming, this vision. "But I saw no temple in it, for the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are its temple. The city had no need of the sun or of the moon to shine in it, for the glory of God illumined it. The Lamb is its light. And the nations of those who are saved shall walk in its light, and the kings of the earth bring their glory and honor into it." And pay attention here to verse 25. "Its gates shall not be shut at all. By day there shall be no night there." The gates will not be shut. The gates cannot be shut because God has opened them. And so we see this here in the veil being torn, don't we? The veil was torn in two from top to bottom. This was not the outer veil, this was the inner veil, this was the one that was woven in blue, purple, scarlet. It had the cherubim on it. It was the veil that symbolically divided sinful men from a holy God, picturing the cherubim that blocked the way back into the Garden of Eden, into the presence of God. Only once per year could this veil be entered, on the Day of Atonement by the high priest. But now, in Christ, we see the true Day of Atonement has come. It is finished. It is done. As soon as Jesus breathed his last breath, that veil that divided men from God was itself divided from top to bottom, opening the way. The curse was removed. The doors to heaven now swing wide open to all who believe. I really hope that this gives new meaning when you hear the veil is torn. I hope that that will be an encouragement. You can say that to one another. Somebody comes to you, struggling. I don't know if God loves me. The veil is torn. The way is open. It has been made through the person and the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so, brothers and sisters, there is no need, unlike small Christopher, who clung to his mom's legs and wouldn't let go, there is no need for us as Christians to have separation anxiety. There's no need. In fact, the only separation I want you to think about is the separation that God has done in ripping this veil open. And know that in doing that, in separating the veil, God has shown us visibly that heaven is open and that we will never be separated from Him. Now that's good news. We need it. And so when you start to fear and you say something like this, "Oh God, my sins are far too great. I cannot dare to come into your presence." Remember, the veil is torn. The veil is torn. When anything in heaven and earth threatened to separate you from the love of God and make you think that God does not love you, recall this truth. The veil is torn. If you begin to fear that God will abandon you, remember, God did this. Top to bottom, He tore the veil, and what God tears apart, no one's going to put back together. It's done. And so be encouraged. The veil is torn, the way is open, never to be shut again. Rejoice and enter into the presence of your God in Christ. Amen. Let us pray. Our God, your work is an amazing work, beyond what we would think of with our feeble minds. Who would have come up with this plan but you, our God? And thank you for showing us with the tearing away, the dividing of the veil, that you will never leave us or forsake us. That you have opened a way through the body of the Lord Jesus Christ, taking the curse upon yourself, becoming a curse for us, so that we who deserve the curse can now enter in with boldness, with that full assurance of faith, into the holy place. And our God, we thank you that you are the God who has promised to remain with us, not only now, but forever. And so God, strengthen our hearts in this and encourage us, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen.